Connect Transit just recorded its third best year of ridership ever. The bus system in Bloomington Normal has had 13 straight months of increases in rides provided and a 9% increase plus in rides last year alone. Yet some in the community have been hammering Connect Transit for a price hike and route changes. As a matter of disclosure, Connect Transit Board Chair Mike McCurdy is also WGLT Program Director. Today we talk with Connect Transit General Manager Isaac Thorne about why the discrepancy between the successful numbers and public sentiment.
I think it goes back to it's been 12 years since we talked about fare increases, and you know that's on me, that's on the board. That was a mistake that we made waiting 12 years, because the public at that point in time thinks that the fares are never going to increase, and so you have to at least look at those and increase them on a regular basis. It'd be much easier for us 12 years ago to say we should increase it a small amount every year or every few years instead of waiting 12 years without a fare increase.
Why? Well, there were three different managers of Connect Transit in that 12-year period. Yep. So why the wait?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, you always want to make sure you're taking care of your customers. And, you know, we think we're doing a benefit, or we're giving a benefit to the customers by not increasing the fares, making them very, very affordable. However, Connect Transit set up differently in terms of funding than other agencies around us, such as Peoria, Springfield, Champaign. They're all transit authorities. They have the ability to tax, to bring in more revenue, and Connect Transit doesn't have that ability. So I think, you know, looking back 12 years, a lot of those agencies didn't raise fares. If they did, it was only by 25 cents in that time period. And Connect really never looked at it really, really hard to determine whether or not we should increase the fares. But I think looking back, that was a mistake over the last 12 years that we, by not doing it, that was a mistake.
Over the last 12 years, how much has the buying power of the fare decreased?
You know, we've added, it'd be hard to determine around the spot, but we've added, obviously, frequency. That's frequency of service. Our headways have moved from 60-minute service down to 30, and some routes have all the way to down to 15-minute service. So we've given our customers, obviously, a bigger bang for their dollar. They're getting more service for that $1 fare than they were, you know, 3 years ago. And that is something, you know, they repeatedly asked for, is frequency of service, Sunday service, which we added in 2016. And they want buses that are going to be on time, getting them to, you know, work, medical appointments, and shopping on time.
How has your on-time performance changed over the 3 to 5 year period?
So prior to the route restructure in August of 2016, before that we were running about 72% on-time performance. Our service was 72% on time. We're now up to like 93-94%. Year to date. So it's drastically improved, and that's something I think, again, customers have responded to since we made the changes.
What is the gold standard for on-time performance?
Typically, you want to be around 90% or better.
Okay.
Now, obviously, you're looking at agencies such as Chicago, New York, LA. Traffic congestion plays a big factor into that. And, you know, those agencies are moving to bus rapid transit with their dedicated bus lines. We don't necessarily have the traffic congestion here in Bloomington Normal. Obviously, at times it is bad, but we've greatly improved our on-time performance.
Right, but when does poor on-time performance actually degrade ridership because people can't depend on a service to get them where they need to go when they need to be there?
Yeah, I think we were there at 72% or less. I mean, you're in the 70%. You're constantly getting phone calls from passengers asking, where's the bus at? Because they can't get to where they're trying to get to on time. They're late for work. It's just at that point in time, they're finding other multiple or alternative forms of transportation, whether that be walking, biking, calling a taxi, or buying a car.
And the frequency of those calls now is?
It's dropped significantly. We used to have over 400 phone calls on a daily basis for our fixed route service. It's now under 200. So a lot of those phone calls of people asking, where's the bus at? I'm at the stop. I don't see it. Those aren't happening anymore because the buses are running on time.
And of that 200, how much is potential rider unfamiliarity with the route, and how much is actual we're not on time. We're late.
It's more of I'm asking, they're calling to ask for directions on how do I get to this location. It's a new location I'm going to. What routes do I use from my home or wherever their destination is or starting point is? How do I get to this destination? And we're explaining that on how to use the writer's guide. And then also explaining that we have a tool on our website that they can type in their address and where they're going. And it's going to show them which bus they need to take at what time to get there.
Let me circle back and ask how much inflation has eroded that fare over the past 12 years.
Well, typically inflation runs about 2%. So, you know, 2% over 12 years is 24%. So us going from $1 to $1.25 for a fare increase is right at where we should have been inflation-wise if it's running at a standard 2% inflation.
Okay. But the inflation is compounded, so it's probably
That's actually a little bit more
than that.
Yeah, probably much higher than
that. So with this proposed fare increase, you haven't actually made up the stagger.
Correct, we haven't.
Are you still going to do the fare increase?
So one of the things the boards wanted to see at our last board meeting was to look at delaying the fare increase until January 1st. And that is the reason why they want to look at that is because the working group has just started their first meeting last month. They're going to have their second one this Saturday. And, you know, they're looking at where are we at today, where we want to be in the future. And we want to give them time to look at Connect Transit, all the studies we've done over the last few years, get better familiarize ourselves with that before they have to make a decision right away on what should we do with fares. So the board's going to be deciding next Tuesday on whether or not they want to delay that fare increase until January 1st. So that's where we're at right now.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Isaac Thorne, the manager of Connect Transit, Bloomington Normal's bus system. So how does the rides that were delivered last fiscal year by Connect Transit at over 2.4 million rides compare with peer institutions and compared with someplace like CityLink and Peoria?
Yeah, so Connect Transit's up 9.2% year-to-date. Most of the regional and peer agencies year-to-date are down around 2%, and that has pretty much been the norm. Their ridership is decreasing since 2015 or 16. And Connect Transit's been on the buck that trend over the last 2 years with a small 1% increase last year and then 9.2% this year. And, you know, I say the reason why we are outperforming our peer and regional agencies is because of the route restructure that took place in 2016 with more frequent service and on-time service. We are better serving our customers today than we were then, and our customers are responding to that because we know that our customers are transit dependent. They don't have a car. They may not have a driver's license, and they need our services to spend money and earn money here locally.
So route restructuring taking effect, building ridership back up because it's more dependable and more understandable is the reason. But why are the other ones declining?
So, you know, we were ahead of the curve in doing a route restructure back in 2016. That was, there had been a few agencies in the United States that had done that, Houston being one of those, that saw immediate impact from the route restructure and giving more frequency to their customers. Most agencies haven't done that, though, in the last few years. And, you know, I know that Peoria right now is looking at doing that. They're even going to possibly hire the same consultants we had in Nelson Nygaard to do that route restructure. So there is a trend of agencies more now doing a route restructure, looking at it, hiring consultants to do this because we're seeing positive effects. And, you know, a lot of people, too, will, because of the gas prices, have dropped tremendously from 2016 and 15 when they were, you know, $4 and above $3 a gallon. They took transit more then than they are now. They're back to either driving their cars or looking at alternative forms of transportation. Maybe that's Uber. Maybe that's Lyft. Maybe that's just biking to work.
See, when I looked at those numbers, I was thinking, well, did the 2016 rate restructuring come way too late? And is it showing disproportionate benefits because Bloomington Normal waited so long to restructure? Under the Pete Weber years, when he was director, there wasn't a lot of rate restructuring.
There wasn't. You know, in 2015, 14 and 15 more so, we saw large increases in ridership. And every transit agency in America saw those same increases again, going back to
high gas prices.
Leaving 2015, going to 2016, we lost 200,000 rides that year because the gas prices dropped. People are making an economic decision of, look, I can drive now. I couldn't before. It's too costly. The price of gasoline was. I'm going to use, alternative forms of transportation, such as taking the bus or riding a bike. And then, that's when we decided we were probably a little late on doing that. I would agree. But when we did make that decision, we also saw a small decrease again in ridership, and then finally it bounced back. I think it does take time for people to understand the routes. It's a whole new system. They had the same route system here in Bloomington-Normal for over 30 years. But in 2018, we saw a small increase. 2019, a 19.2% increase.
So what's the future of transit in general? I mean, if the trend is generally downward because of the fuel prices, is ridership largely dependent on fuel prices, or will these other less expensive modes of transportation, whether it's electric vehicles or electric-assist bicycles or whatever, continue to depress transit nationwide?
Well, I think, in my opinion, mass transit is always going to be in existence. I think we just have to – people are going to continue using that for a number of different reasons. Obviously, it's much cheaper than driving your vehicle. Also, in certain areas and across this country, traffic congestion is also an issue of getting to work. So you're going to take transit. But I think you're going to see more agencies looking at route restructuring, providing frequency of service, adding amenities such as bus shelters and those sort of things to increase ridership. And the agencies that are doing that, customers, citizens are responding to that by riding transit more.
With these technological uncertainties, though, is now the time to be planning for and betting on of fixed facilities like a new transfer center, which you're contemplating?
Yep. Well, we know that with Uber and Lyft, people and customers are using it in 2014, 15, 16. It really, really took off. What we know now in all the studies that have been done is that typically now people are using those services, Lyft, Uber, shared rides, typically on the weekends, Thursday through Sunday, for social events, not necessarily going to work every single day, Monday through Friday.
So rather than drinking and driving, they're
correct.
Using Uber.
Yep, that's absolutely correct. But those, share ride rider, Uber, Lyft riders are also taking transit throughout the week. So there's a benefit for both Uber and Lyft and Connect Transit. We're all playing a part in this. In terms of, you were saying, what was your follow-up to that question?
The future of transit, it's going to, what is it going to be like?
Yep. So, in terms of the downtown transfer center, I think that people are always going to use mass transit. It's going to be no different here in Bloomington-Normal. And again, we are serving individuals that are transit dependent. They may not have a driver's license. They are making less than $24,000 a year. They're going to continue using our services, and as we've shown over the last year, they're going to use it more. So downtown transfer center is a vital piece in continuing the increases that we are having and seeing. Right now, later this week, we're going to have a cooling station in downtown Bloomington because of the heat index. We wouldn't need to do that if we had a downtown transfer center. In the winter, we're going to have a cooling station. We wouldn't need to do that if we had a downtown transfer center. And our ability to continue to increase ridership, making sure people can make their transfers, get to work, spend money locally, is building a downtown transfer center that's going to be big enough to fit all of our buses and give a place for people to sit and wait for their transfers, and giving them real-time information to track where their bus is at.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking transit with Connect Transit Manager Isaac Thorne. So the Olive Route is gone after much public outcry. The Pink Route is supposed to substitute for that in large part, and there was a test phase offshoot of the Pink Route to take in part of the Orlando project, the Orlando Avenue residences. Mm-hmm. How is that going?
It's going well. So, yeah, the pink route is basically serving West Orlando Avenue every half an hour. So it's actually providing more service to West Orlando Avenue. And what we're seeing so far is full buses when it's leaving Orlando Avenue and continuing on the rest of the route. When it's coming into Uptown Station, it's pretty full. So it's so far what we're seeing, it's working. What we're trying to figure out is it going to have enough time when ISU students come back to actually make transfers and continue being on time in terms of service?
Well, if on-time service for the pink route becomes questionable, what do you do about it? Because you've designed the pink route to take over the load from the olive route.
Yep. So what we can do is instead of servicing that West Orlando Avenue every 30 minutes, we could go to once an hour. That's something that we know that would work. We give the pink more recovery time to ensure and make sure that's going to be on time when it hits Uptown Station to make transfers.
So every other bus that goes by the pink route up and down Main Street would turn into Orlando.
Yeah, that's something we'd definitely have to look at if it's not going to make it to Uptown Station on time. Because the most frustrating, it's very frustrating for a customer if they're on the bus, they make it to the transfer center, they want to transfer another bus right away. They can't do that now because the bus came in late and they have to wait 30 minutes for that bus to come back.
Has the elimination of the olive route largely transferred the riders to the pink route? Is there obviously they're not quite apples to apples, but do you think that most riders on the olive route have made the adjustment?
I think majority of, even before when we still had the olive route, there were customers on Shelburne Avenue where the tan or the olive and the pink overlapped that were taking the pink because it had more frequency. It was getting to Uptown Station. It's every 30 minutes instead of every hour. I believe that majority of the customers, as of right now, probably living on West Orlando, taking transit service, are using the pink route. And they still have the option as well to use the yellow route, which serves the corner of Main and West Orlando every 15 minutes during the school year and every 30 minutes during the day.
There is a new large apartment complex going into the area near the what used to be the Starplex Theater. It's now a different name, but that theater complex. What are your plans for that?
So we are going to we already service that area right now off the pink route. We believe that once people move into those apartments, that bus stop's going to become busier once that happens. So it's going to put more strain on the pink route itself. However, it's going to increase ridership. I think the pink overall this year had about a 10% increase in ridership. It's probably going to continue increasing after those homes are completed.
When will it be beyond capacity or at full capacity?
So if it does become over capacity on the buses, what we could do is look at an additional frequency for the route on the pink route.
One every 15 minutes?
Every 15 minutes is basically what we could do by adding another bus. We're going to continue monitoring it. We don't know if that's going to happen or not, but we do believe that there's going to be some more ridership because of that development.
When did you become aware of that development, and how does Connect Transit enter the conversation about where projects like that in dense housing go in the community?
Yeah, so typically a development like that would come to the town first. The town would then share that with McLean County Regional Planning Commission. And then we, Connect Transit, we get those plans. And there's a series of questions that the developer needs to fill out, basically a questionnaire. You know, are you seeking transit service in terms of walkability, sidewalks? There's a number of different questions they have to go through before I believe Town of Normal will actually approve the project. So we were aware of that, I do believe, over a year ago and started having those conversations. And we made a change at that point in time because we know this development was coming, to have the pink route go up and serve McKnight Street.
So the working group, as a facilitated process, will have its next meeting on Saturday, as you've already said. What do you expect to come out of that 3 to 4 month process?
Yeah, so they're going to come out with a final recommendation. Again, the working group is going to be looking at where is Connect Transit at today? What kind of transit system do we want in this community going forward, you know, 5, 10, 15 years from now? And, you know, here's all the goals that the group comes up with, the working group. I want transit to do X. How are we going to fund that that goal? And how are we going to create the system that we want 15, 20 years ago? So it's going to be a pretty comprehensive recommendation that's going to go from the working group to the Connect Transit board. And then from there, obviously, it's also going to be a report's going to be given to the Town of Normal Council and the City of Bloomington Council.
And will that result in requests for taxation or requests for additional funding from the municipalities under the current structure or what?
So I am not sure what the final recommendation is going to look like. There could be a funding component, whether that's more additional funding that they're requesting from the town and city to contribute, or a final recommendation for a referendum that Connect Transit should become a taxing authority. I'm not sure what that final recommendation is going to look like, but both those options, I'm sure, are going to be on the table.
You made the comment on our air last year that by 2024, or in that range, all of Connect Transit's capital money will have to be allocated to operating money because of a structural deficit that is happening. Will the working group address that structural deficit definitively?
Yes. So what the work group has is basically our budget and our budget projections going out from, you know, this next fiscal year, this current fiscal year 2020, all the way to fiscal year 2024, when we will essentially at that point in time be using all of our federal funding, like you said, on operations. So it's definitely something that the working group is going to discuss. I know they're also going to be discussing, you know, fares, where they stand currently today, and our plan going forward. Everything is on the table for this working group to talk about and make their final recommendation for.
Isaac Thorne is the general manager of Connect Transit in Bloomington Normal. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.